other press organisations, do they take the same risks that we do? By and large, they don't, because it's a very difficult and complex business to publish true information to the people about the reality of the banking system. So that is one of the reasons why we support what is happening here in Occupy London, because the banking system in London is the recipient of corrupt money, and the banking system in London is the number one censor of the British press.
For the Independent Sunday, after the Independent Sunday, maybe today the mood, the mood today was very relaxed, very friendly. What are your plans now for tonight and tomorrow? What are you going to be doing this Sunday?
I am on my 323rd day of house arrest, which means most of the time I have to stay confined to a property in rural England. I must return early this evening. I have an electronic manacle on my leg. This morning I had to sign in with police. So unfortunately I cannot be here for these proceedings in any significant manner. But because of the strong mutuality with what these groups want to achieve and WikiLeaks values and own situation, I believe that it was important to take the risk of that story has already been said. WikiLeaks will soon embark on a campaign against Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Bank of America and Western Union, who have all these past 326 days engaged in an extrajudicial financial embargo, which appears to be unlawful under European law. It has done so as a result of political influence from Washington and not as a result of any judicial process. In fact, the only administrative process to look at the banking blockade, a process conducted by the US Treasury and Timothy C. Geithner, the US Treasurer, found way back in January that there was no lawful excuse for the United States to conduct a banking blockade on our organisation. We demand a separation of corporation and state. This is a very basic notion that we are familiar with in terms of religions and states. What is happening now in the United States, in the UK, and other heavily fiscalised countries is that there is no meaningful boundary between the political decisions taken at the seat of power and the corporate decisions that are taken around boardrooms. And that has been borne out by the reaction of these banking institutions towards WikiLeaks. Bank of America. Bank of America, through its lawyers in Washington, hired three private intelligence organizations which posited a budget of $2 million a month to take down WikiLeaks. The documents from that are proven. The CEO of one of those intelligence organizations, H.B. Gary, resigned as a result. And where is the FBI investigation into private intelligence organization operating on behalf of titanic banking interests like the Bank of America? Those papers, those policies by H.B. Gary, produced on behalf of the Bank of America, said that they should hack into WikiLeaks, that they should hack journalists who were supportive of WikiLeaks, that they should create division and discord, that they should submit fabricated documents to WikiLeaks in order to destroy its credibility. Where is the FBI investigation into that? There isn't one. But on the same hand, we see over 100 raids and arrests of our supporters in the United States, in England, in Spain, in Australia, who have done nothing but try to do an electronic equivalent of what is going on here today. An electronic sit-in of PayPal, Bank of America, Visa, MasterCard, and so on. Those individuals are now facing dozens of years of jail as a result of demonstrating their electronic political dissent. And in a modern world, that cannot be tolerated. We cannot tolerate a world where our interactions have become electronic, and yet there is no effective right to gather. There is no effective right to demand redress in the way that these people here today are doing so in the physical world. By November 14, the European Commission is due to make its first ruling as a result of our complaint against Visa and MasterCard. That will either open up a full investigation and prosecution of the antitrust activities of Visa and MasterCard in relation to WikiLeaks, or the investigation will be dropped. If the investigation is accepted, then that tells us something extremely important about the bank, and it's the first sign of a strong disciplining force in relation to unlawful activities of major banks and powers. If, on the other hand, that investigation is dropped by the European Commission, that tells us something important about Europe and its relationship to American banks. That is, it is servile to American banks. That Europe, as a nation, as a multi-state entity, has no effective power to support the interests of its own population against multinational corporations acting out of Washington foreign policy.
Julian, what do you hope this protest will achieve today? This protest.
I hope that this protest, more than anything else, will will result in a similar sort of process to what we saw in New York, to what we saw in Cairo, to what we saw in Tunisia. It is not an instantaneous process. Rather, it is the professionalization of activism, the professionalization of demanding response and redress from an elite in society that is no longer reflecting the majority will. And if we look at what happened in Cairo and what happened in New York over the last few months, we have seen that through dedication, courage, and professionalism, what seems to be an initially discordant group can come together and make sound political structures and political decisions. And I think we may see that today. It looks hopeful what's going on here. There's a lot of people, there's a good turnout, the people are behaving respectfully to each other, they're thinking about the big issues and not the small issues. And so that gives me great hope for how this demonstration and process will develop over the next month.
How do you think the police are behaving? I hear you had a little run with them here, right?
The police here are kettling people. This was denounced only a few months ago, and recommendations were put in place in the MET that kettling be eliminated or reduced. And yet, we see it here used against a peaceful political protest. And I have spoken to the police here. They have said to me that this is a peaceful crowd, it is good weather, no troublemakers, and so on. So why is it that kettling is being used? This is not something that is routinely used in Australia or the United States or in Canada. It is a tactic that should only be used in the severest situation. It is fundamentally anti-democratic. We have speakers here and a well-behaved crowd trying to listen to them, engaging in an assembly, a basic democratic process, and yet others have been kettled away from them. The crowd is not so large that there is any risk of stampede. The crowd is well behaved. It is daylight. No one is drunk, etc. It is a perfect political crowd on the steps. There should be no kettling here.
Why do you think that's on the public here?
There are thousands and thousands of people here who have been broken up into different groups by the kettling. This is actually a really quite impressive turnout. We must go back to what happened in New York only 3.5 weeks ago with the beginnings of Occupy Wall Street. There are only around 70 people on the first day, so this is an extremely impressive turnout. We perhaps can compare this great crowd with the turnout we saw for the 10th year of the Afghan War. The numbers here are substantially larger. This is an issue that clearly affects significant numbers of the British population, and they are willing, rightly, to turn up and make their sentiments known. Because of the situation, I cannot take part in meaningfully in this process or any others because I am detained most of the time under house arrest in Norfolk.
And how are you coping with that house arrest? I mean, you seem quite relaxed in the sunshine, but how are you mentally and physically coping with that imposition?
One can adapt to almost any situation with enough effort.
What do you say to those who say the solution is to withdraw the money from the banks?
Well, an important step of action is seeing which banks are good banks. There are some good credit unions, for example, operating in the United Kingdom and rest of Europe. People, yes, should withdraw their money from banks that have practices that they do not approve of, or invest in companies that they do not approve of, and put them into these other institutions. They have the same levels of protection in terms of financial insurance and roughly the same interest rates. So that is a good step for people to do, to not be fools of these banks, but rather play the market. My advice to this group, from my experiences in the Middle East over the past 3 years, is that we should look to the lessons of others that have been successful. Why was Cairo so successful in the face of such opposition? It was because people kept a high ground. They kept track of what the real issue is. The real issue is not the police. The police, like any organization, is made up of good guys and bad guys. The police just do as they're told. The real issue is those people commanding them to do particular things, to protect banking interests when democratic forces are pushing in the other direction. So look to those successes, and as much as possible, professionalize, act intelligently, look to the long game.
Which kind of reform does it apply to your financial system?
Well, that is something that must come out of each country and the problems that it has seen. And I believe that this process will allow lots of voices to be heard. Voices of people who have actually studied this issue. For example, the Tax Justice Network has been studying these problems for many years. There is a solid body of academic research behind a lot of these problems. But this process and the media interest in this process allows these well-studied problems to come to the fore. One proposal that has a lot of academic weight behind it is a Tobin tax, for instance. That is something that may well be worth doing. Another is in relation to how much influence banks and other big corporations can have on our politicians. What the constraint should be on lobbying by very powerful groups or individuals. Lobbying beneath the surface. I mean,
the media is also a powerful group. At the moment, because I am speaking, I have a certain power. But that is a power that is visible. We can either choose to accept it or to ignore it. But influence that goes under the surface, influence that's done in backroom deals or Cayman Island transfers or share swaps, that is not something that is made public. Even something that is very close to all of us. All of us have a Visa card. All of us have a Visa card in our wallet. But do we know who really owns and controls Visa? The majority shareholdings of Visa, the A-class shares, are well hidden from the public. You think Visa is a publicly traded organisation, but the shares that are publicly traded can't vote. Doesn't even have shareholder democracy in Visa, and if we all have a Visa card in our pocket. And that is what has allowed Visa, through no judicial process, through no administrative process, to ban the rights of all of us to vote with our wallets again by making donations to WikiLeaks and similar activist organisations. That's a tremendous problem. Visa is an American corporation. It was originally Bank of America. And yet, how does Visa Europe behave? You would think that Visa Europe is owned by European banks. On paper, it's owned by European banks. The way the contracts are developed, Visa in the United States has effective economic political control over all of our wallets. That's a problem for us, and it's a problem for everyone else as well.